To start today, I have to tell you about one of my field trips from back in the day. When I was a kid, I went on a school trip to learn about nature, animals, the trees, you know, all those things. And as we were walking through the forest, our leader turned around and said the most out-of-pocket thing I've ever heard. She said, "If you see a bear, you don't have to be the fastest runner. You just have to be a little faster than the person behind you." That's terrible advice, right? But you get the idea. As long as you're faster than someone else, then you're gonna be all right. Sometimes we can get into the habit of treating people in the exact same way, comparing ourselves to them, measuring our safety or well-being against their ability, talents, or characteristics. We're less worried about who we are individually and more worried about how we compare to the people around us. We do this all the time. We think, "I don't have to be the most popular person or have the most followers or be the most unique. I just have to be better than someone else." Or, "As long as I'm not last, I'll be okay. As long as my deal is better than someone else's deal, it's no big deal." While there are certainly extreme examples of what comparison can look like, a lot of us tend to do this in less noticeable ways. When we think about success or achievement, we might be quicker to look at the failures of other people around us than we are to look at our own successes. For example, when was the last time you got frustrated because you saw someone else succeed in a way you wanted to? It's easy to let someone else who we perceive as doing better than us make us jealous or frustrated. It's why we might secretly love seeing people fail. Think about this. It's pretty much every reality TV show ever, right? It's every piece of gossip that we've ever heard around school, and it's every wild story that gets told on TikTok. We like seeing people fail more than win because we're always playing the comparison game. And if someone is doing better than us, well, it can be much harder to use their success to make ourselves feel better. And maybe you're not actively or purposefully doing this. Instead, maybe you don't mind doing whatever you have to do to excel, even if it's at the cost of someone else. These are the moments when we find ourselves trying to flex because of how that flex makes us look to the people around us. It's making fun of someone so that everyone else laughs. It's not doing something a family member asked you to do because you don't like being told what to do. It looks like spreading rumors about something someone did, regardless of how it makes them feel. It looks like commenting on that person's post and making fun of them or calling them out. It feels fun at the time and makes you look like you have it all together, but what does it do to the other person? If any of these things sound familiar, it could be that we're allowing comparison to control our views of ourselves and our actions. And if we get really honest with ourselves, we do these types of things all the time. In some ways, it's what we're taught to do. If we ever want to get ahead, put yourself first, win at all costs, and never let people see you down. When we live that out, we become something we don't want to be. We end up looking at the space we occupy in the world and comparing it to others. Why? Because we think we need to maximize our space in this world and minimize someone else's. Sometimes the world around us can make us feel as if winning or being better than others is all that matters, which means we have to make ourselves bigger than who we actually are. In order for you to be okay, you think you have to be better than those around you. And if we buy into this, we end up criticizing and tearing others down, all because their life doesn't look like ours. We try to make someone else feel worse so we feel better. And while we might think that our success is dependent on other people's failure, what if there's a better way? If you've been here the past few weeks, we've been in this series talking about holding both humility and confidence in a healthy balance. God has created you to be uniquely you. You do not have to be anything more or anything less than who you are. But when we move past humility and confidence to pride, arrogance, or entitlement, we try to be more, and our words and actions affect people and places in ways that aren't good for others or ourselves. It might be one thing if we lived in isolation, but we don't live in isolation. We were created for relationships and to live in community, so our lives all exist next to each other. A guy named Peter was one of Jesus's closest friends and followers and wound up being one of the leaders in the church Jesus started, and he got this idea. In a letter he wrote that is now called 1 Peter in our Bible, he wrote about the topic of humility. He was writing this letter to Christians who had been spread out across different cities because of the bullying they were facing for following Jesus. They were spread into new communities and cultures, and Peter encouraged them to be different than the people they were surrounded by. Rather than allowing themselves to be filled with pride, they should become people of humility. Look at what he wrote. "And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Peter said followers of Jesus are to dress in humility, which might sound weird to us, but it means that humility is something we are able to put on, like we put on clothes. Peter not only told us to put on humility, but he told us when to do it, as we relate to one another. Peter knew that true humility can only exist in the context of our relationships. He challenged the people reading the letter to think about how they interact and relate to one another, how they see these people and how they speak to them, how they treat them, and even how they think about them. Humility does not mean having low self-esteem or trying to play down who we are. It doesn't mean we never need to accept a compliment. Instead, true humility starts with relating to others well. Humility doesn't mean pretending that we're never proud of ourselves or that we never do anything good, but true humility does mean paying attention to how we view the people around us. It has less to do with how we act on the outside and more about what's happening on the inside. Dressing ourselves in humility means we aren't comparing our lives to the lives of others. When we spend all of our time comparing, we'll never find confidence in the life we have because we're too busy trying to be better than other people. If we want to see someone else fail, then we'll have a hard time learning to relate with them well. Instead, if we learn to be for other people, for their success, their happiness, and well-being, that is how you can learn to dress ourselves in humility. Not by comparing ourselves or lifting ourselves above someone else, but by actively serving them. If we can learn to love and serve the people around us and work to be there for them, that will tear down the comparison we so easily hold on to. Think about what Peter was saying this way. Don't measure your God-given space using the space occupied by someone else. Instead of comparing someone else's life to your own, what if we help them see how they can be the best version of the person God created them to be? When we learn to do that, it works against the pressure we feel to compare ourselves to others. Dressing ourselves in humility starts with realizing that it's an active choice we make every single day. Humility won't happen by accident. But if we choose to resist comparing our lives to someone else's, then we can dress ourselves in humility and confidence. Let me show you what I mean. We can dress ourselves in humility by looking for opportunities to serve. Opportunities to serve others and build them up are all around you. We don't often see them because we're too busy looking for the opposite, opportunities to compare. But if we start taking opportunities to serve when they present themselves, they may just slowly become how we live and who we are. How about encouraging others? We can put on humility by encouraging someone and calling out the good you see in them. It's choosing to speak well of someone instead of gossiping. When your friend wins, make a big deal out of it. When we do that, we begin to relate to each other differently. And finally, it's looking to people who consistently live humbly. You can choose who you look up to. You can choose who your role models are. If the only people we look up to are people who spend more time comparing and climbing over others than they do loving, encouraging, and serving others, then we'll lack the example we're looking for. Our heroes say a lot about who we want to be. And it's not a bad idea to edit our heroes to make sure the people we want to look up to and the people we want to emulate are people who balance humility and confidence well, who serve others. Take note and see if you can apply that in your own life. True confidence and true humility begin when we stop using other people to determine our value. Peter's encouragement to the church to dress themselves in humility was pretty unique. When we learn to live differently, looking for opportunities to love, encourage, and serve others, and when we start following the example of people who do the same, then we're joining in a long line of people who followed Jesus and did the same. So remember, don't measure your God-given space by the space occupied by someone else. When you go to groups, consider your answer to the following question: Do I use other people to determine my own value?